Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you live, well, not live, but pre-recorded on Monday, February 17th. It is around 7 p.m. right now. It's the start of the second period between USA and Sweden. I've got the game on in the background on mute. The Swedes are currently leading 2-1. That doesn't matter. By the time you listen to this, the game will be done. We'll know the result. But what does matter is we already know the Four Nations face-off will be decided Thursday, February 20th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, between Team USA and Team Canada. And this will come 5 days after Saturday's mayhem, bedlam, crazy, classic, all-timer, slobber knocker, whatever the hell you want to use to describe. Canada versus USA, three fights in the first 9 seconds, a hell of a game from both sides, especially on the American side, where defensively they absolutely neutralized all the Canadian stars and completely shut down after the opening goal. That is Connor McDavid and the entirety of the game, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Braden Point, Mitch Marner, name a superstar on the Team Canada roster. The U.S. shut him down on Saturday. Kel McCarr, of course, did not play, but it was one hell of a game, an all-time classic match. And it kind of, you know, rather than breaking down the game specifically, it kind of made me think of something that I wanted to talk a little bit about today. And I think I mentioned this on my last podcast, that there's going to be kind of a night and day difference between the product for the Olympics and the product for the World Cup of Hockey. This, of course, is kind of a preclude to the World Cup of Hockey, which will begin in 2028. But there's going to be something different about the way the Olympics are played, in 2026 compared to the World Cup in 28. And then eventually the expectation is the Olympics in 30, the World Cup in 32, and so on and so forth. And that is, of course, the way that the game's officiated, the rule book in which you must abide by in each of these tournaments. 2026 World Cup, it's IIHF rules. You will be thrown out of the game if you fight. Big hits, like some of the big, massive hits we saw in this game. There was one on Sidney Crosby. I'm drawing a blank on who hit him, Brady Tkachuk maybe. Among many other examples where they don't quite swallow the whistles as much as NHL referees do in playoff hockey, which is kind of the way that the Four Nations face-off has been officiated. Very playoff-like atmosphere, intensity, energy, and reffing. So that's going to be a big difference, and that's definitely something to keep an eye on, because for the first time, which is right now when the Four Nations face-off, and even more so when the World Cup happens in a couple years. Like, the Four Nations face-off, for Canada and the U.S., it is four games. For Sweden and Finland, it's three games because they're not in the championship. When the Olympics come around, when the World Cup comes around, you're probably playing six or seven games or something of that nature to win the whole thing. So the big thing that's intriguing about this is that the Four Nations face-off and eventually the 2028 World Cup are the first time that the NHL hosts one of their league events midway through a season, specifically 2 months before the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've never seen this before. The 1996 World Cup of Hockey, the 2004 World Cup of Hockey, the 2016 World Cup of Hockey with those two fake teams, obviously, Team North America and Team Europe. Every single one of those was played in the August to September range. And I say August because the 96 World Cup actually started August 26th up until September 14. And of course, in 04, it was in September right before the league went into a lockout a couple weeks later. In 2016, it was in September and it kind of dragged into some of the training camps. I remember the Avalanche had guys like Eric Johnson that participated in it, Nathan MacKinnon, etc., and Gabriel Landeskog. And those guys all showed up to training camp a little bit late because of it. But this is the first time. And you know, for older hockey fans, you might remember, think specifically to the 96 World Cup. Think specifically to the three-game series, I believe it was, between Canada and the United States. Think specifically to the fight. There was a Keith Tkachuk fight with Claude Lemieux, of all people. There were crazy hits, crazy shots, crazy just intensity, physicality, just a whole lot going on in that final series. Canada won game one September 10, 4-3 in OT. The U.S. took game two September 12, 5-2 in regulation in Montreal after the game one was played in Philly. And then in the deciding game three on September 14 in Montreal, Canada, I believe, if I remember correctly, had a 2-0 lead and lost 5-2, or they had a 2-1 lead and lost 5-2, giving up four goals or five goals late in the third period. Basically, it was insanity. And those were played under NHL rules. Again, there were fights, which you probably won't see that in the Olympics, because again, player, like every single one of those guys, Hagel, the Tkachuks, Sam Bennett, Colton Pareko, JT Miller. If this was Olympic hockey, every single one of those guys is getting thrown out. So you have NHL intensity, which is playoff-like intensity hockey, not happening in September, where if anybody gets banged up, they get that figured out in October, November. No, it's happening on February 17th, February 20th, February 15th for the Canada-USA game. When this championship game is played on February 20th, and these two teams are going at it, fighting for bragging rights, USA and Canada, winner of the Four Nations faceoff. That's less than 2 months from the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's new. That's uncharted territory. The NHL has never had one of their events, international events, midway through a season with this level of intensity. This is ultimately what the NBA has been hoping to get out of the NBA Cup, and it hasn't really been happening, obviously. Not to this extent. So on one hand, the NHL, like, they knocked this out of the park. This is a grand slam in every sense of the word. The eyeballs on these games, the people talking about it that have nothing to do with hockey and aren't even hockey fans yet. Like, to see this go up in the same week as the Pro Bowl, well, Pro Bowl was a few weeks ago, and in the same week as the NBA All-Star Game and the shit show that that's becoming and how boring it is, and we've seen what NHL All-Star Games have been the last few years, to see this happen in that time frame and to get the eyeballs that you're getting on it, to get the intensity, the buy-in from the players, the physicality, the fights, they knocked it out of the park. But again, this is the first time the NHL has one of their events officiated by their officials with their rule book, with their playoff atmosphere type of hockey, less than 2 months before the playoffs. And that is uncharted territory, and that is something to keep an eye on. I'm watching this USA-Sweden game. We're about 7 minutes into the second period. Again, by the time you listen to this, the game's over. But we've already seen Brady Tkachuk go down the tunnel. We've already seen Vincent Trocheck go down the tunnel. We've seen Tkachuk come back. We've seen Trocheck come back. And then we've seen Tkachuk stay there during the second period or after the first intermission. Trocheck has made another return. Like, guys are missing shifts. Guys are getting hurt. Matthew Tkachuk is resting this game for precautionary reasons. Auston Matthews is sitting this game for precautionary reasons. Connor Hellebuck is obviously just getting the night off. But too many guys, like the Tkachuk brothers specifically. I'm Canadian. I want Team Canada to win. I love the Tkachuk brothers. But something that worries me about those guys is, like, you worry if, and apologies for the phrase because I can't think of a better one, you worry if they blew their load a little too early. Like, these are two guys that are, they're aching, and we haven't even gotten to the championship of only a four-game tournament. So how are they going to perform, and how is this style of hockey going to be handled when it's 7 or 8 or 9 games that, or whatever, 6 or 7 or 8 games that you got to get through? I think it's 3 round robin and then 3 quarterfinal, semifinal, final, if I remember correctly, is how the World Cup would go. How are you going to manage, and even if it's just a quarterfinal and a final, or sorry, a semifinal and a final, then it's 5 games. So how are you going to play that many games and not, you know, feel the way you're feeling right now if you're the Tkachuk brothers? How are they going to look against Team Canada on Thursday? Yes, they get the extra day off. For Matthew, he's even getting this day off. But how are they going to look in that game? And at the end of that game, when you go back to the NHL and bless the league for thinking of this tournament, but my goodness, the schedule does you no favors. I'm going to check right now when Florida and Ottawa play before I make this point. Florida, obviously being the home of Matthew Tkachuk, they play at 4 p.m. on Saturday, just like the Avalanche do, 4 p.m. Mountain Time. And the Ottawa Senators, they do not play, does not look like they play on Saturday, February 22nd. Actually, yes, they do. 5 o'clock, Canadians at Senators. So less than 48 hours after puck drop, not the end of the game, less than 48 hours after puck drop, Ottawa, Florida, even Colorado, but Ottawa and Florida, because we're talking about the Tkachuks, are going to play NHL games. How are they going to feel on those games? How's Ottawa and how's Florida feeling about these fights, about the physicality that these top players are putting into this tournament that, let's face it, it's going to drive hockey-related revenue, but I don't think if you're Vegas, you're too happy with Shea Theodore getting injured. So that's something that I'm just so curious about. I can't wait to ask the players about, because NHL-style hockey is so different from IIHF Olympic style hockey. Fighting isn't allowed. You get kicked out. But on top of that, the physicality, the way that the officials officiate these games, the types of penalties you see called, like, I want you all, for those who have been watching these games, the Four Nations face-off, to remember the hits and the physicality you've seen in this game, the after-the-whistle scrums you've seen in these games. And think back to that next year during the Olympics, because you're going to pull your hair out when you realize just how many penalties are getting called. So it's something to keep an eye on. I'm really curious to see how this goes. I hope both Tkachuks are good to go for Thursday's final. I hope they both look good. And I'm very much worried if I'm the Ottawa Senators or if I'm the Florida Panthers about their health moving forward, especially the Ottawa Senators, because God damn it, that team needs Brady and that team needs to make a playoff push. They need to get into the postseason this year. You do not want to blow that, because Brady Tkachuk, again, sorry for not using a better phrase, blew his load early in the Four Nations faceoff after two and a half games. Like, Matthew Tkachuk didn't even make it through the second game to get to the third game before the championship, before he had to sit out for suffering an injury. Could it be precautionary? Yes. Is he going to play on Thursday? Yeah, probably. But you still don't love seeing that. Now, moving on to the Colorado guys. Kale McCarr missed that big game with an illness, but there has been talk about an injury that he's dealing with. Lower body, upper body, anybody's guess. They haven't said. But something there is ailing Kale McCarr, and he's had to say things like, I'm going to do everything in my power to play on Monday, which he did. I'm going to do everything in my power to play on Thursday, which he probably will now that he's played Monday. Leading into the puck drop, 11 a.m. Mountain Time today against Finland, we didn't even know if he was going to play. He took pregame skate, the warm-ups, and that was when we kind of realized, yeah, Kale McCarr is going. He was skating with Devon Taves and taking those regular shifts during that pregame warm-up, and that's when it became official. So McCarr's been dealing with something. Is it something he suffered in the Sweden game? Maybe, maybe not. But, I mean, it's Kale McCarr. He's always kind of got something going on, as we've learned as Avalanche followers and fans. Nathan MacKinnon looked great. He was shut down by the United States. He scored two goals against Finland to earn first star of the game honors. He almost had the empty netter to complete the hat trick, but one Alexander Barkov with a shin pad blocks the puck, blocks a shot, and keeps the puck out of his goal with the empty net. While Finland scored three goals in short order to turn a 4-0 lead into 4-3 before Sidney Crosby said enough is enough, scored an empty netter after a open ice car crash with Mikael Granlund. Like, again, let's go back to players kind of buying into this tournament. What better example than a 36-year-old Sidney Crosby, who's got three Stanley Cups, two Olympic gold medals, a World Cup of Hockey championship medal as well, and world championship medals as well, gold medals, and enters this tournament having missed, I think it was the last two Penguins games with an upper body injury. Comes into this tournament, puts up three assists in the first game, sets up MacKinnon for another goal in this game against Finland, and late in regulation of a 4-3 lead, absolutely lays the body on Mikael Granlund. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how in shape you are. That was a car crash. And picks up a puck and flutters it into the empty net and says, enough is enough. I'm Captain Canada and I'm putting an end to this game. So again, despite everything I'm saying about the physicality, the NHL knocked this out of the park because the players care, the fans care, the media cares, everybody cares, and it has been so much fun to watch. So love seeing that from Sidney Crosby. But I'm really curious about, of course, the goaltending. Jordan Binnington lets in 3 goals late, and the reality is, I mean, let's face it, I didn't love anything about how Canada played the end of that game. You have a 4-0 lead. You got to keep the foot on the pedal and do what the U.S. did when they played Finland. Win the damn thing 6-1, you know? But they didn't do that. And I kind of don't like that, because then you allow yourself to lose a little bit of confidence in your goalie. Like, oh, now everybody's kind of sitting there feeling a little more shaky about Binnington and the goaltending situation than you would have had Canada just, like, I don't know, finished out a 4-0 win, a 5-1 win, played better defensively, kept the offense going, and really just kind of foot on the pedal and won that game big. You've allowed Jordan Binnington, as you already know, to be a little bit more leaky than you want him to be. You allow Michael Granlund to score 2 goals in short order. I think it was in, 23 seconds or something like that. And that comes after the first goal that Finland scored to make it 4-1. And now you're going into a game against the United States where Connor Hellebuyck in 2 games let in 2 goals. And your guy let in 2 goals to Michael Granlund in 23 seconds after giving up another one just a couple minutes before that. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Team Canada is probably, I mean, I don't want to say not, but probably not going to get a 4-0 lead on the U.S. for Binnington to let in 3 late goals like that. We already saw a game where, you know, if you eliminate the empty netter, the U.S. won 2-1 in a game where the first American goal was leaky. The second American goal from Larkin was a great shot, but it came from way outside. And if you're Binnington, it was a savable shot, despite it being a great shot. So how are you feeling about that? If you're Team Canada, you're feeling pretty good because the U.S. shut you down and they neutralized McKinnon. They neutralized Crosby and they neutralized Marner and Reinhardt and Braden Point, and they neutralized McDavid after that opening goal. And despite all that, and despite Binnington letting in a bad goal and maybe a second bad goal, let's call it a bad goal and a half, you still only lost by 1 goal against goalies before the empty netter. So you're feeling pretty good about yourself because now you're going into this tournament. What Binnington's done doesn't matter. What Hellebuck's done doesn't matter. What happened in the first game between these two teams does not matter. It's one game. It's for the championship. Binnington can let in 3 goals. As long as Canada lets in 4, doesn't matter, and vice versa. So really excited to see how this goes, because as much as I'm enjoying this tournament, number one, I want to see the finale and I want to see how it all ends. I want to, you know, watch the final episode of this TV series that we're kind of all tuning into, the Four Nations Face-Off, the drama of it. But at the same time, I'm excited to get back into some Avalanche conversation. There are some things I want to touch on, but I'm going to save them for a future episode. The Avalanche are practicing again on Wednesday without McKinnon and Taves and Makar. At 11 a.m. at Family Sports. And then they're practicing on Thursday without McKinnon, without Taves, or without Makar at 11 a.m. on Family Sports. And those two games those two practices will happen while Canada and those 3 Avalanche players are prepping for Thursday night's finale, the championship game. And then on Friday, when the Avs take the ice at 11 a.m. at Family Sports, I don't believe in any way that McKinnon, Makar, or Taves are going to be on the ice for that. But they might be in the building by then. So then we go straight into Saturday, 4 p.m. at Nashville. And Sunday, 4 p.m. at St. Louis. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if those 3 guys, late Thursday night, just fly to Nashville. Either late Thursday night or probably early Friday morning. Because the Avs are going to practice Friday and then fly to Nashville. They might just meet those guys there. And that wouldn't surprise me either. So really interested to see how this goes, but I'm excited to get back to practice. I'm excited to talk trade deadline. Despite everything we're talking about right now, we are 18 days away from the trade deadline. It's getting close. And methinks Tuesday and Wednesday So Tuesday, as in February 18, when you're probably listening to this, and Wednesday, February 19, before the championship game, methinks this is going to be the time where you start to see trades trickle in, leading into the final push toward the postseason. The Avalanche, only 6 games separate them from now and the trade deadline. So let's see how it all unfolds. But first, like I said, we got a championship to get through, and it's going to be Team Canada versus Team USA, McKinnon, Makar, and Taves versus the Americans. So excited. Can't wait to watch it. Follow me on Twitter at RunRightArif. Subscribe at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you catch your podcast. Google Podcast no longer exists, but you get the point. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.